Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie. I'm Julie.
Yes, you are. And I'm Christine Marie. And we just happen to be mother and daughter.
Yes, we are. And we're here on Sunday nights on BBS Radio, just kind of, you know, hashing out the week, pulling out the nuggets of truth, the nuggets of
untruth.
Untruth or truthiness. And we're both coaches. You've got your psychotherapist, and I'm almost got my master's in instructional design.
Yes.
And we really are about, we're about having fun in life and
having a good time.
Improving ourselves. We believe that we can continually improve ourselves, makes our lives better. Now, that in our vision.
Would you call that personal development?
I would. But it's interesting because the vision I have for my life now is definitely different than the vision I had for my life 10 years ago. And it's funny how the older you get, your vision changes. What's important to you changes.
It's true.
Both
metaphorically
ways.
And physically.
And maybe, you know, I was talking to you the other day. I said, I feel so bad for people. You know, I've always had impeccable vision. I mean,
you did
better
you,
than
eagle eye.
I really eagle eyes, close up, far away. Yeah. Didn't matter.
And
I
you would kind of like rub it in too.
Not intentionally. It just would be. You know, I can't help if everybody just depended on me to see what was around them.
Right.
And as I've gotten a little bit older. And my vision has slightly changed. My doctor says it's still over 20/20, like, you know, 2015 or 2010. I don't know. One of those. I think to myself, oh my gosh, it must be horrible for people to not be able to see clearly.
Yes.
And metaphorically and
physically. Right.
But we're going to have a great show today. I've got something I want to talk about, like I always say.
You always are just saying we're going to have a great show.
I know. We've got a new segment that we talk about where we review an app that we've brought into our lives.
Yes.
We are officially joining the 21st century.
No.
And we're officially using our cell phones for more than just talking and texting and possibly using a, you know. I'll tell you what we're doing.
What?
We have been a family of three using barely using 1 gigabyte of data.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're upping it.
Now we're a family of three using two.
We have decided to use that.
Yes.
So go that second gigabyte of data. And that's our goal. Maybe we'll go to three next time.
Oh, my God.
But it's funny because as soon as we started doing these apps in our radio show and reviewing the ones that are designed to really make your life better.
Right.
Sometimes they just make your life more complicated.
Yeah.
And
I will talk about that one.
Yeah.
During our app segment.
But the ones that make them better, you're like, they take a lot of data.
Yes.
Take a lot of energy.
Yes.
You're just like, oh.
What is that about? I want to know what that's about.
But, and then we got a couple of movie reviews we're going to do today.
Mm-hmm.
Get Out from me and.
I'm not telling. Why do you? I don't understand why you liked at the beginning of the show. You tell whatever's going to all be on the show.
Okay, then I'm not. We're going right into it.
It's like
screw it. Don't you?
It's like you know.
You shame me, girlfriend. Shame me that I want to have any kind of organizational thing to this. So, which I understand why you don't, because here's what happens.
I'll tell you why.
I know.
Because we'll get off track.
Like we always do.
And people
do.
Will say, hey, you were going to talk about such and such, and you didn't.
And so, therefore, I make no promises on what we're going to talk about. Because
but it will be a great show.
It will be an awesome show. And you'll feel like you're part of the family.
Yes.
Which is what I would like. Because sometimes you just need a mother and daughter team to kind of go, hey, you're part of the family, kiddos.
Yeah.
You're part
of the girlfriends.
Part of the girlfriends.
And, you know, the we're getting more and more boy girlfriends.
That's and you like that?
They can use the same bathroom.
That's right.
The boy girlfriends.
You know, it's so funny.
Wait, it is funny. What are you going to talk about? I'll tell you why I think it's funny.
You tell me why you think it's funny. The bathroom issue.
Well, because you and I have decided that we really don't know what transgender means.
Okay.
I just feel like I heard echoing.
You do. It's okay.
I was okay. Okay. But. We thought we knew what transgender means, but we've been reading some articles. Like there was this one person who was a hockey player and is transgendered and now plays on the girls'
Wait,
hockey team?
Nothing is very clear anymore.
It's not clear. I never know.
The pronouns are not matching what they're saying. And so, and I think back in the day, I had an idea what this was all about.
Me too.
And it was very clear to me. And I totally got it. I totally understood it.
Like Chaz Bono.
Well, I'm not, I didn't know about that. I mean, like, not being specific, but just...
But isn't she transgender?
Yes.
I mean, she was a girl.
Uh-huh.
Chastity. Her name was Chastity.
Yeah.
And now it's Chaz. And yes. Now she's a boy.
Right.
But I'm not sure now if she would be considered transgender.
I don't know either, I guess.
Yeah, she may be just a man.
Right.
But
see, that's the thing I don't
transgender
get. Transgender
means
I really felt like
part man.
Right. Part woman. That is a thing that is confusing to some people, mm-hmm. because there a part of me has always felt like it was totally cool for me to think that you were born and our bodies are just chemicals and hormones anyway, and that you might have felt you were a girl, but you were born into a man or a boy. Mm-hmm. I can, and then you want to change that, but you will always be then what you thought you were, even after you had the change. If you were a female, you want to be a male, and you had the change. Mm-hmm. You're then officially a male. You're not. I don't know why you're transgender.
Right, exactly.
You're a man now.
Yes.
But I believe that there is a different category called transgender.
Yes.
Which is
like Bruce Jenner.
I don't know if Bruce is a transgender. I guess if you haven't officially, because what we read was transgender only, what it means is that you identify from a different sex than what is on your birth certificate.
That's all it means? Oh, okay.
Or what you are biologically.
Got it.
But if you complete the change and you are male,
then
and
you're just...
I would think. I'm not
male.
Sure by that.
Right.
And it's funny because we were not going to talk about this at all.
I don't know why
you brought it up. But you wanted to talk about it for some reason.
No, I didn't.
But
I just
brought
wanted
it up.
To say, yeah, I did.
Well.
I just wanted to say, I didn't understand it.
Yeah. I don't
and
either.
And I did. I said it.
But it's and here's the thing. It's like, there's a point of just, I don't care. Like, be happy. I want you to be.
Yeah.
And most likely, I don't even know, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. I want people to be happy and content in their own skin, because everybody has one life.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And it's a short life. Be happy.
Be happy. I love your line. That's your tagline. A housewife.
Yeah.
It's a short life. So be happy.
Exactly. So, but in regards to the bathroom use, you know, I always find that concept to be so effing funny. Because there have been so many times... Because, first of all, there's a population out there who would never think about using public bathrooms.
Right.
Just for germ's sake.
Right.
Just never think about it. Like, yeah. that doesn't even come into my realm. I don't care, you know? And there's a public population like me who I have used public bathrooms my whole life. And I will have to tell you, there have been several times when I have... walked into the men's bathroom and used it, walked out not knowing it was a men's bathroom.
Oh my gosh.
Most likely because I went to a McDonald's one time and they were celebrating one of Disney's films, and I guess it was about ancient Greece or Roman times, and they had pictures of the stars, you know, the cartoon stars on the bathroom doors to represent male and female, but they were both wearing dresses. They both had togas. And I just quickly glanced up and I'm like, oh, this person looks like, you know,
that's
she's
a
wearing
toga.
Dress. And I walked in and there's a guy. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, hello. And, you know, and I remember someplace else I was, and I'm going to the bathroom, and I hear this older man, like, coughing. I'm like, what the
heck? Oh my gosh.
And I just see him go, wash his hands, and walk out. I'm thinking, dude just didn't read the signs correctly.
Yeah. Well, Dad's found himself in many situations like that, but he was just telling us recently that one of the companies that he goes to is now... both bathrooms are for everybody's use.
And I'm totally cool for that if you can lock the door.
Yeah.
Because I really would prefer just to have my own bathroom for the 3 minutes that I use it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to, you know, for the most part, I would prefer that. And for the most part, women's bathrooms have stalls in them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel that, like, I remember a year ago, I was traveling and I went to a bathroom, and this one bathroom I've had two very interesting incidences. It was a rest area, a very beautiful rest area. And the one time I went there, a young couple is walking out of the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, whatever.
A young couple.
Like in their late teens, early 20s.
Right.
I'm like, well, I can only guess what you guys are doing in there at 2 in the morning.
Blow.
Yes. What kind of
metaphorically
blow?
Metaphorically and physically.
Yes. And then the other one, had gone to this truck stop or this rest area enough times that the guy who cleans it knew me, you know? Mm-hmm. And he says, oh, I'm so upset right now.
Julie, I go, girlfriend, I'm just upset.
I go, what's going on? Why are you so upset? He goes, there's a big hole between the stalls in the men's bathroom, and I'm just so upset by this. I'm like, I go, why would somebody do that? He just looked at me. Really, Julie?
Really?
Really? You don't know why? And I'm like, well, I did know why, but I wanted him to tell me.
You wanted him to say glory hole.
I wanted him to say glory hole.
Did he say glory
hole? No, of course. He just said, really, Julie, think about it. I'm like, all right. I'm like, oh. I go, I just don't have that kind of time. You know, I mean, then you just go, how possibly horny are you?
But not only that, but it's hard for me to believe, because if you have a hole in something, and I'm thinking...
Rough edges.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Or maybe they have duct tape inside their pocket as well. So they kick the hole in, and then they put duct tape around the inside of the hole to make it a little bit softer.
Yeah.
However, that duct tape probably would rub a little bit hard as well. I don't think it's a soft surface.
Yeah.
So it might... I don't know what a better tape would be than duct tape. Yeah. Maybe something else, like masking tape.
Job opportunity.
Glory hole tape.
Glory hole tape. Hey, look it up right now. I want the URL.
I'm not going to look it up right now.
GloryHoleTape.com.
If somebody else wants that idea, they can run with it.
No.
I refuse to invest in Glory Hole Tape.
Oh, my God. You could be an investor.
Okay. I'll look into it.
Okay. Please. Not.
Yes.
We were hearing about another job opportunity this week.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, this was my idea. This wasn't the job opportunity that we heard about, mm-hmm. but we were hearing about people who have died mm-hmm. that have hired, no, their relatives hire people to come into the house first before they have to go in and kind of straighten things up, because it's kind of sad to go in there. And, mm-hmm. But then we were finding out like what people would find in there.
Right.
Like this one couple, the mom had died and the dad was the last to go, but he had always told the kids that look under the mattress, like for decades, you know.
I got some money under the mattress. Yeah. Yeah.
And so the kids went in and they went to the mama's, I guess they had separate bedrooms.
Right.
And the mama didn't have anything under her mattress. And then they went to the daddy's, mattress, and there was an envelope there.
Big Manila envelope.
And they
envelope.
Went, oh, my God, this is great, you know. And they opened it up, and it just said, ha-ha.
Well, and see, here's the thing.
I love it.
I've been thinking about this, because you, in some ways, you could be, if you were a company that comes in and the cleaners, you know, mm-hmm. the afterlife cleaners or mm-hmm. whatever, you know, let Jesus clean your soul.
That's right.
But we'll clean your apartment.
That's right.
And we'll sanitize it all down. And, you know, in some ways when you're dead, you don't care. But when you're alive, you have that thought in your mind, God, if I die, I don't want someone to come in and see all this.
Yeah.
Or like.
Well, this one story was. This grandma was very, very Christian, very conservative,
right?
You know, and they were going through all of her stuff, and they found a voodoo doll,
right?
And this voodoo doll was of a woman, and it had, they said, it must have been 200 pins in the crotchal area of this voodoo doll.
And is crotchal a word? Crotchal.
Yes, it's a word.
Okay, all right.
Or the crotch area of this voodoo doll. And it was like totally not in the grandma's wheelhouse to do that. And they were wondering, you know, well, what's the story behind that? Was grandpa fooling around? And
yeah. Was that grandpa?
I know it was a woman voodoo doll.
Okay.
It was
those voodoo dolls, though, to me, always tend to be androgynous looking.
I don't know.
They just kind of have their arms sticking out, their legs sticking out. They're just like, ah, you know, like that. Like, ah, you know.
I think this was a female voodoo doll.
So you do wonder. You wonder like a grandpa had a little bit of a kink side in it.
And she didn't know what else to do. But
bought a voodoo doll?
And started sticking the pins in.
that's a non-forgiving bitch.
Yeah, because you wonder now, was she wanting to hurt the woman?
Right.
Or was she wanting to, like, a little surprise?
Oh, hello.
If Grandpa goes there.
Well, and since... And since,
finds all these.
And didn't we hear that just recently, syphilis is on the rise, especially in the population over, like, 70?
Yeah, that's what Normano was saying, that he heard that syphilis. And he said that the biggest, another business opportunity is... I went to Florida and all I got was this damn T-shirt and syphilis.
So Dad's going to pick up screen printing.
Yeah.
That's
Dad's new, he's going to do a T-shirt business.
He's going to do T-shirts business.
Yeah, just
all I got from Florida was this crappy T-shirt and syphilis.
And he has this whole story about why.
Yeah.
The whole story is he's heard that, you know, older men are taking Cialis or Viagra,
right,
or as you call it, Viagra.
Viagra.
I forget how you say it, but, and so, you know, there's like, it's like rampant in nursing homes,
right,
and in like retirement villages,
yeah,
that these guys are just all walking around with big boners and giving each other, I don't believe I'm saying it,
but I don't know why you're saying it. So, and as we talk about pillar talk, when we go about coaching, and how can you take us seriously when we do that? Because it's just a mother and daughter team who've known each other for a long time. Let it all hang out on Sunday nights. Just let it all hang out on Sunday nights. And if you can laugh a little, great.
When I was a little kid.
Oh, please, you know, don't tell me something bad. Go ahead.
The thing that the hallmark of syphilis was that you'd lose your nose. And so you could just like anybody that... If you met on the street and like they had some nose issues,
syphilis. It's so funny. I've never met anybody or seen anybody that that had lost their nose from syphilis. But growing up, that's what you told us.
That's the story I told.
I think from the age of 3 or 4 years old, yes, you told me and my brother that if you dare have sex without a condom or have sex at all, and you get syphilis, which you will get, everybody has it out there. You will. Your nose will fall off.
It will know.
And
you won't be able to keep a secret.
Or then you'll have, or you can get gonorrhea.
Yeah.
It was horrible. I mean,
did you scare you enough?
Yes, of course you did. And you didn't lie to us.
No. I even showed you pictures.
Yes, you did.
From World War II.
Yeah. Yes. And you didn't, you know, you didn't talk to, you didn't really lie to us necessarily, but you certainly scared the hell out of us enough to go, well, the cost benefit here is just not worth it. And then it finally said, oh, and by the way, if you have unprotected sex, you may get knocked up and have a kid. And you're like, oh, that's the least of my problems. I mean, I don't know
if
my kid's
gonna parent with no nose.
And like green pus coming out of everywhere, you know, and you know, your brain turns into mush and you're just like, oh, this is horrible. And then you have sores that never go away.
That's right.
And I'm like, well, who would choose to have sex? This is just wrong. And as you're growing up, you're until you hit puberty. And then when you, after puberty goes, those hormones are like,
maybe
you're like, oh, I'll risk it all. You'll risk it all. It's just, hormones are stupid. You know, those things that mess you up.
You know what? That's going to be the title of my next book.
Hormones are stupid?
Yes.
I believe it. That's what I'm saying. That's
yeah.
What I'm
but anyway,
saying
getting back to the job, though,
yeah,
is, you know, that there are people out there that can come in. But
I don't know if that part is true. I think we want to be those people.
That's. But I'm telling you, though, that we talked about, to you know, this week that I said, yeah, we might want to have that job opportunity. But then I took it one step further,
uh-huh,
and I said that you hire, if you're alive and you're going to die or whatever,
right,
you hire somebody that comes in and takes all your porn away,
yeah,
puts up pictures of your parents,
right,
you know, and makes your house like look like a little
and
angel.
And if you're a parent, you know, you hide the handcuffs, you know,
that's
you put
right
everything away, you know, all the secrets that you really don't want anybody to know about, yeah, but you're just not ready to give them up until you're. If we all knew that we were going to die in 2 or 3 weeks, we'd do the cleansing ourselves. But
yeah,
that's not how life works.
No, so you've got to hire somebody, and then you ask me, well, how does that person get notified? And I said, well, it has to be like
an app. Yeah.
And that's the business opportunity.
Create.
It's called visitingangels.com.
Yeah. No. They already have that, but it's not, that's not, it's visiting cleaning angels.
That's right.
The cleaners.
The
yes
cleaners.
But I think that it's a good opportunity for, like, if I think some people find it enjoyable or connecting or closing to part of the process to go into a loved one's house and look through everything and so forth.
Right.
And I think, though, I think other times it does provide a space of contention between siblings, between family members, and there's just no reason for it.
Well, one story I heard was this aunt left all of her money, and nobody knew how much she had.
Right. But she told everybody.
But it was over $1 million.
Right.
But she told everybody she was going to give it to this one niece.
Mm-hmm.
And that the reason was that she was not married.
Right.
All the other nieces and had spouses, and she felt they were all going to be okay, but she wanted to make sure she took care of her right. niece that was not married. But what was interesting was that the niece, who everybody knew the story, fell in love with the funeral director.
Yeah.
And literally, they got married in a couple of weeks and had the $1 million, and none of the brothers and sisters thought this was fair.
It wasn't fair.
That,
and she should have given some of her siblings some money.
And she didn't.
And that's the shits of it. She should have done that, but she didn't. Even like 30, 40 grand a piece, something, you know? But that was a shit.
A new car or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think she deserves a little criticism because she, if it's true, if that whole story plays out. Mm-hmm.
And so the funeral director was like, if you were a funeral director and you knew that the single woman, all the single ladies, you know, if she was going to be a millionaire. Would you be more interested?
100%.
Yeah.
You know, 100% I would be. I'm not sure if that was the motive. And suppose
I hope it was true love.
There's no such thing.
You're so cynical today.
I'm not. No, I'm not.
You're
cynical.
So cynical.
I'm no more cynical than normal.
That's right.
Than usual.
That's right.
I don't know. I was thinking about, for whatever reason, I was taking my shower yesterday morning, and I was thinking about the houses of Beverly Hills.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about who's the blonde girl that left? She was the model that has a Gigi and Bella.
Yolanda.
And I remember when she got divorced from David Foster.
Right.
And people were like, you know, we're so shocked they got divorced, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And people who knew David, like, we're not shocked at all.
Really?
And, you know, and it's funny because I was thinking about them and being cynical about love.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cynical about love in that respect because when you've been with people who've been together for decades,
mm-hmm.
it's never good for decades. You have,
right.
it's like a life.
Right.
You have ups and downs.
Ins and outs.
And so, for sure. And all that stuff. But for whatever reason, I'm not cynical about love. I think I'm very practical about love.
You're practical.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think what's interesting, you talk about the Housewives of Beverly Hills, is that, like, David Foster was married to Bruce Jenner's ex-wife.
Yes.
And, I mean, in Beverly Hills, that place is so incestual.
I know.
Everybody just gets passed around.
I know. It's crazy.
From one, you know, I mean, and it's no big deal.
No.
It's no big deal. You have to have some kind of history training.
And definitely, you know, Kris Jenner and Kyle from are good friends. I mean, everybody knows everybody, and they're like, quote unquote, friendly and friends. Mm-hmm. So I do think spouses are somewhat passed around.
Yeah.
It must be a way that everybody just keeps the money coming.
I think so.
I don't know.
And so that's why it doesn't you know, it's not unusual for me to think that they're getting divorced.
Right.
Because I think that there's like, it's somehow like a shadow contract.
Right.
Like we stay this long, and when, you know, it
gets a little old or stale.
Yeah.
Because if you have money and things, and maybe it's about the newness and that you're in love with being in love, not in love with being with the commitment of building a life.
Yeah. And also, too, like the men, it seems like, go younger.
Mm-hmm.
And the women tend to go older, like
which
Eric
is grateful,
and Jane.
Right?
This is perfect,
perfect,
right?
Yeah.
So even if you're an older woman, there's still an older guy out there that
yes.
in Beverly Hills that can take care of you,
right?
You know, buy you your Louis Vuitton purses and your.
But nowadays, I think, I mean, do men still need to take care of women? I mean, aren't there a lot of women out there that are kind of
if you keep divorcing well,
that's true. I don't think that's stereotypical, Mother. I don't know.
I'm talking about Beverly Hills.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you ready to do our little, our app?
Sure.
One bad apple don't spoil the whole bunch, girl.
Oh, I don't care what they say. I don't care what you heard.
So here we are at our app section. We like to just kind of start reviewing new apps because
this is
we're
a new
coming
section
into
for us.
The 21st century, everyone. And last week we talked about our McDonald's app.
Yeah, which we heard had 1.5 stars.
And we know
we
nine.
Understand why
yes,
now.
It is very frustrating. And also, too, it takes a lot of time. I mean, it's just crazy. I was like, just scan my and give it free coffee.
I got a free coffee, but it cost me 1 gigabyte of data.
Yeah.
That was $5.
That was $5. You're
so
like,
what happened to that free coffee?
So I've got a new app that I'm using or trying out this week, and it's called Zero. And I think David Rose or David Ross, can't remember his name, is in behind this, or one of the people behind this app development.
Oh, Dave Ross, yeah.
Dave
yeah,
Ross. Yeah. And I found out from Dave Ross through Tim Ferriss
right.
and his podcast. And I've been reading a lot about intermittent fasting and how beneficial it is for you and your blood sugar and your blood pressure and just all these good things. And I'm like, well, and there's different ways to do intermittent fasting.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean what you think it means.
Right. I mean, there is that one now where you definitely get a 12-hour fast in every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. And I do like that. It's nice to have a ending time of when you stop eating and then mm-hmm. you have, quote-unquote, breakfast.
Yeah, like 7 a.m.
You break your
PM
fast.
To 7 a.m., right.
Exactly. And for me, I've got to be careful with that because I like to eat, like, at 7, which takes about 20 minutes. I like to eat in the morning about 7. So I'm usually about 11 and a half hours.
Mm-hmm. Oh, darn.
Yeah, I know. And then there's another fast where they talk about following the circadian rhythm, which so it's more like where it's kind of to nighttime. So at nighttime, you're not eating.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the sun
comes when the sun
up,
is you up, can, you can eat.
You can eat. Mm-hmm. And then you have another one where you're fasting like 2 days a week, completely mm-hmm. fasting. Mm-hmm. And that fast can be different. It can be totally just liquids or it could be eating just 500 calories a day. The research that I've read on it is really about you need to go a quarter of the calories that you typically would eat.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're typically eating about 2,000 calories a day, mm-hmm. that's 500 calories.
Mm-hmm.
I do like that fast because I make this huge bowl of vegetable soup.
Mm-hmm.
And it's filling is not the right word, but it's...
You have a nice satiety factor.
I have a nice satiety factor, mm-hmm. and I don't feel crazy in my head. And I make it... I measure everything out. I know it's got 500 calories in this soup. When it's gone, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like that, and I do feel I've gotten benefits from it, and so forth. But now that I have the app, I'm tracking it, because I used to, I think... we know that if you can track something, you can show progress. You can actually
what
achieve.
What you can
measure,
manage.
And manage, you can track.
Right. And what you can measure, you can manage.
Exactly. That's the whole point. So I would recommend doing Zero. It's
what
a
was
very,
it?
Very
it's
simple.
Zero.com?
Just go to your app store and type in Zero.
Mm-hmm.
And it should come up. It's a very, very simple app.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got three choices. And one is program your own fasting
mm-hmm.
regimen,
mm-hmm.
and that's the one I'm working on.
Mm-hmm.
So I recommend doing it, trying it. It's easy, no big deal.
Good. Does it cost any money?
This one's totally free.
Good.
Which I like.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
no big deal. And so any apps for you, girlfriend, before we move on to movie time?
Well, the one that, last week it was McDonald's for me, and this week, Dollar General.
Dollar General.
In general, everything's a dollar. But one of the reasons that I am choosing this app is because you had told me several weeks ago that you were in Dollar General.
Yes.
And you were in line, and the lady in front of you was like, had a huge basket of stuff, and her bill was like $1.40.
Something really crazy.
Something crazy.
Yeah.
And I said, how did that happen?
Yes.
And you said, she got the app.
And so I did.
So you got the app, and we're looking at it. And once you go in deeper and deeper, they have like a lot of stuff, buy one, get one free.
Right.
Buy one, get one free, and there's a coupon with it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's specific stuff.
Yeah.
But if you need it, It's that's a the great key price.
Because I was watching, some of those shows like Extreme Couponing, mm-hmm. and you'll see people's apartments or homes, and they literally have 50 things of washing machine stuff. And I thought,
washing machine stuff?
Yeah.
Ew, what's that called?
What is that? Detergent. Thank you.
And you how just, about hair cleaning stuff?
Yeah.
What's that called?
Shampoo.
About tooth cleaning stuff.
I'm good at toothpaste. I'm good at multiple choice. Keep them going, girl. Yeah, I have low self-esteem right now. I need to up my self-esteem. And I think to myself, you know, maybe not get any more of this stuff for a while. I mean, it's not even like
at some
end
point,
time
it's,
stuff. Yeah. I mean, it'd be different if it's just, if it's end times, I don't care about washing my clothes.
No.
You know?
No. And will there be water in the end times?
Yes.
Will there be electricity?
Right. I'm thinking, I don't yet know.
Mm-hmm. But you might be able to barter with it.
Oh, I guess so. And then, you know.
Now, there's an app.
There you go.
The bartering app.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. That actually would be an interesting app. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen any commercials for that app. That's kind of
interesting. No, but I bet there really is one already, though, don't
maybe.
You think?
But you need to have an app plus enough people doing it or it doesn't, you know.
Right.
So, you ready for a little movie time?
Oh, wow. That was quick. Our app section was quick. But I'm ready for the movies.
Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies. And see how many Sherpa hats there are. You know what I mean.
So here we are at movie time, movie talk. Girlfriend, talk to me about your movie.
Last night, your father and I saw Hell or High Water.
Oh.
And, you know, so I'm even though I'm breaking all my rules, you know, Saturday night movies is comedy, under 90 minutes, mm-hmm. boom, done, next. I've decided to try and see some of these Oscar-nominated movies. And this was the first one, which I could have chosen Manchester by the Sea. I could have chosen Moonlight. But instead, I chose Hell or High Water. And I'm really grateful that I did.
Good.
Number one, I love Jeff Bridges. Have always loved him. And he's great in this movie. Almost unrecognizable, but... You know, because he is officially an old guy now.
Right.
And plays old guy as well, you know.
Right.
But, dang, this was a good movie. It was really well written. And if I was going to be a writer, which I would love to be a writer of movies, this is the kind of movie I would want to write. It's got, you know, it's got my personality. It's got the way I think uh-huh. in it. And it was just a really good movie. I wouldn't, you know, you said, oh, I'll watch it today, you said. And I said to you, I don't see this as a daylight
right,
movie.
Right.
It's really a movie, you want to have the house quiet. I'd like, you know, you want it to be night out.
Right.
You want it just to be sipping your something, whatever right. you're sipping. And
whatever lunch. That is.
Yeah, and yeah. then watch this movie. Acting was great. I love the two brothers that play this movie. You told me one was a Star Trek guy, Chris Pine or whatever.
Yes.
And then I loved the other one, a little red-haired guy. Was it Ben Foster? Or?
I think that's it, yeah.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He does a great job. I mean, he just... It's just... I don't want to give anything away. Ha, ha, ha. But it's a great movie. It really is.
Do you think
is.
It deserved to be up for a Best Picture?
Was it?
Yes.
Yeah, it should be.
Especially if there's nine pictures. You felt this was a pretty tight script, really well written, and
tight script.
For the genre,
I wanted
good.
To know after I wanted to know who wrote this script, and you told me Taylor Sheridan or something
like that.
That.
Yeah,
and that you said he was an actor in the movie or he played a part, and it was interesting because I, in my mind, as you were saying that, I saw this guy who was as the actor, and it was,
oh,
yeah,
cool.
yeah, but the guy had a does a great job and really knows. Texas.
Oh, good. Okay.
I do believe that. Understands this genre that he's
right.
talking about, you know.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Like you and I, if we had to write a movie, we'd write about rural Dixon. Can you imagine? And all the little hotbeds of
intrigue. Well, I can since
intrigue.
Well, I mean, when you think about who we had as a comptroller, you know. I mean, if you don't remember who Dixon's all about, we're, you know, President Ronald Reagan was lived here.
Yes.
I don't think he was born here.
He was
here.
Our lifeguard here.
He was a lifeguard
here.
And
he has saved 77 people.
Yes, a huge amount of people. And it's so silly because you think to yourself, why don't we know how to swim in Dixon? I mean, really? You had to save 77 people.
And we have 77 little wooden cutouts of people that he saved.
Supposedly. And then the other thing is...
Rita Cromwell.
Yes, who you probably heard of.
She's been on TV. Well, the story's been on TV.
She was on stole like $23 million from...
I think it was more than that.
Maybe more than that from Dixon over the course of years.
You think our town would know that something was missing, but...
Yes, for years. And everybody... She was just controlling the money. And then she had the hubris to go... Yeah, exactly. She was... she had the hubris to go on vacation and let somebody else come in and do the books.
And they went... Wait, wait a minute.
What's going on here?
Wait, what?
There's something not working here. And then the FBI. And the funny thing about this whole story is that, which I think it could be a really good book or, you know, based on.
It could be a good book about two girls, a mom and daughter, in the parking lot of a Walmart, looking at all these cars, like maybe 50, 60, 70 cars come into the Walmart parking lot, and all these people with vests on that say FBI, get out. And we're like, what the hell? What's going on?
Exactly. That was interesting.
That would have been the story that I would write.
Well, and it's funny because...
And then we go, let's follow them.
Because would you have gone stereotypical? And like all these cars are at black SUVs? Or would you go reality?
Reality,
which
is that
every car was normal, different, dirty.
We said that at the same time.
And minivans, little Ford Escorts. Yeah. I mean, just all the whole gamut.
Yeah.
It was actually pretty eye-opening.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's going on? And I wish I would have followed them because that would have been interesting.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have known what was going on. And I wonder, you know, I wonder if she heard about, like, hey, there's some FBI people at Walmart.
Town,
uh-oh, I'm just thinking here. So I saw.
But I want to say thumbs up, 4 stars, see it.
How many Sherpa hats?
4 Sherpa hats.
All right. I'm going to tell you that last week I said I didn't get the chance to see Get Out because Doug did not want to take me to see Get Out. Even though it was going to be his birthday present.
But then when he found out that I was paying,
he said, sure.
Step up to the plate.
Yes, he goes, all right. Well, because I told him I didn't want to see anything but Get Out. And he took me. Yay. And we both loved it. At this time, I believe that Rotten Tomatoes is still 100%.
Yeah.
And is it an Academy Award winning movie? No. But it's perfect for what it is. Jordan Peele. Peele wrote it and directed it from... Mm-hmm.
Peele and oh my gosh.
I know. I can't think of the last name.
Oh my gosh. Crook and Peele? No.
No. Ah! That comedy duo, though.
Oh my gosh.
I can't think of the last name. I feel so bad.
Key and Peele.
Peele and Key? Key and Peele? I thought it was Key. Yeah. I don't know. Sorry, Key and Peele. But anyway... Loved it. Loved every part of it. It was awesome. It was not too long. Tight script. Surprise ending. And kind of scary. But not so scary that you have your fingers in front of your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Not that kind of scary. Mm-hmm. Just a little thrilling.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh my God. Ah, you know. And weird and odd. And then it all makes sense at the end. And that's all I'm going to say about it. Mm. And I do give it 4 Sherpa hats.
4 Sherpa hats.
Because we're the Sherpa girls.
Yes.
And we want to guide you to your movies.
We're the guide up that mountain of movies.
Exactly. So I say, yes.
Get
Out.
So we had two positive...
It was actually
today.
Nice.
Yes. So Get Out, 4 Sherpa hats, and Hell or High Water.
Exactly.
4 Sherpa hats. See them both.
You ready to go to a little Elliot's Corner?
Indeed.
I once had a dog, or should I say, he once had me. Welcome to Elliot's Corner.
So here we are at Elliot's Corner, where what we learned from our dog this week.
Elliot.
Or animals all in general.
Yes.
And it's funny, today I woke up and sometimes I have guilt complex come over me early in the morning. I don't know why.
About Elliot?
About just things in general that come in.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I choose to not engage in my guilt and put my head in the sand about certain issues, globally, locally, whatever. And this was about animals today because you had told me about a documentary that you were watching.
Yes.
Part of it. And I can't remember what it was called now, but it was
something about releasing the cage or something. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Kiku?
Yes.
Kiku? The chimp?
Yes.
Okay.
And No, your expression on your face when you said Kiku, you were like Kiku, like, oh, is it about Kiku the little chimp? I'm like, ah, oh, trying to be so cute like always. It's just me in the room, girlfriend. You don't have to be so cute for me.
Well, I enjoy saying that because when I was like one,
yeah,
my parents would try to get me to say my name, which was Christy D'Antoni, and all I could say was Kiki Noni. And so I was just proud of myself that I remembered the name of the chimp because I was thinking it sounded like
awesome
Kiki Noni.
There you go. But so the whole story, yeah, the whole story is about how this one lawyer wants to give some animals more rights than what they have.
Correct.
And I woke up this morning. They don't know Elliot.
He's
an abuser.
He owns our home.
Yeah, he does. He has more rights than I do.
That's right.
But I woke up today just feeling like, am I supposed to do more about this?
Right.
And are there?
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I felt just guilty. Like, am I supposed to do more? Mm-hmm. And I don't know what to do. You know.
Right.
And I just woke up feeling bad.
Oh my gosh.
But so I tried to put that down.
Put it away.
And go, I'll do my Meatless Mondays and say I'm helping helping the animals by doing Meatless Mondays. You know? So one of those mornings I woke up to.
Oh, my gosh.
But my poor little doggy, Elliot, he has an ear infection.
Again.
And
it's our fault.
Oh, for sure. Always is. When I take him into the vet, I always feel I'm being slightly shamed.
Yeah.
Just slightly shamed, which is funny because
everybody shames us.
I mean,
now that Ellie's got a new friend, Lewis, he's a rescue dog.
Our dog's not. We actually paid a good amount of money for him. You know, depending on who you are.
Adopt, don't shop.
Exactly.
That's what they're telling us now.
Adopt, don't shop. And I'm like, I tried to adopt a Wheaton Terrier, but they demanded so much from me. I felt I could have walked out with...
Yeah, $4,000, just they wanted us to fence our yard.
I'm like, really? Really? Yeah. And are you going to come and check in with me? Can I just say yes? Mm-hmm. Can I take pictures of somebody else's fenced-in yard? Mm-hmm. And would that have counted?
They were kind of abusive to us. They were just like...
I was just like... I'll just pay for it. Yeah. I'll just go and find a breeder. Yeah. And this little dog, he is the love of my life. Truly the love of my life.
He loves you so much, Julie.
I just adore him.
He just jumps on you, comes and sits on your lap.
And we've been training him to, he has like a little gazebo out in front. And we train him to jump into his crate in the van.
From the gazebo to the van.
And I call him because he can get easily distracted.
Right.
And he'll chase a car, he'll chase an animal, so I make sure that the path is clear. And I call for him.
Right.
And then yesterday, I called for him. And he came for me. But when I called for him, I was on the opposite side of the van.
Yeah.
So he didn't come get to his crate. He went around
the
van
to you.
To me. And I thought, oh, that little
so
sweetheart.
Sweet.
That little sweetheart. And then, I realized, it's like, what are you really training the dog to do? Mm-hmm. Which was good. And then you go, okay, I'm training him to come to me. He still doesn't do that when he's focused on something else. Mm-hmm. But there is a thing about focus in there, and how do you become more focused on what you really want, because or where you're really heading, because you can easily miss a target, you know, and that's I'm trying here thinking about how to pull some kind of nugget out of that of that little situation.
So that's your nugget for pets this week.
Yeah. Now I know that you have a joke.
Well, it's not really a joke. It's a story that I had heard that this one person had sex with two dogs and a parrot. Mm-hmm. And the guy goes, you know, I understand the dogs, okay? But the parrot, come on, something that's going to snitch on you?
No, that's not a joke. You're right. It was just a story.
That's the one about, Alexa, what's the weather?
Parrot.
Alexa, what's the weather?
Alexa, what's the weather? Well, you had this idea, which I thought was fascinating, is like, when does Siri or Alexa start getting attitude? Like, you know what? You need to move on from this question.
Yes.
You don't
even
know.
Every day you ask me, Alexa, what's the weather?
And you don't go out until about 3 p.m., if you go out at all. You know, you're kind of like,
You work from home. You get your food sent to you. I know you get your food sent to you because you're asking me to order it for you.
I just ordered you the Blue Apron special.
I go, so, you know what? Let's stop asking about the weather. Does it matter to you, really? So when does Alexa turn on you?
Yes.
I want to know
when
that.
When does she turn on
when
you?
When does she turn? And she should. I mean, we talk about how the new model for computer or programming or whatever, for artificial intelligence, if you want to call it, is it's that it's predictive. It's intuitive.
Anticipatory.
And those things are interesting because it gives you the impression that it is artificial intelligence. It's not. Yeah. It really is anticipating your next predicting.
But it makes you feel like, you know, if the enemy really wants to know what you are, all they got to do is study your habits.
100%.
Like Greg was saying, that when he gets in this car, his phone will say, oh, you're 1.2 miles from school.
Yeah. And you're like, how do you know I'm going to school?
How do you know I'm going to school? Because every morning at this time,
you're going to school. Well, and same thing with my page when I go online. Like, this never happens any other day except on this certain day I go to this one website. Every day, I go there.
Porn.
And every time it's that day, it automatically just shows up. I'm like, okay, the program's being intuitive.
Yes.
It's like, hey, we know you're going to go here today. Let's just do it together.
Let's just say we are.
Yeah, we're doing it. You know, like you and me, kiddo, we're on the same page. And you're like, you know what, dude?
I got a friend.
I got a friend.
Like Alexa.
Alexa or Siri.
Or Echo.
Echo, one of those. I think Alexa and Echo are the same.
Are they?
I'm not 100% sure. I think Echo is just littler. But it's an echo.
Oh, it's just a whisper.
It's a whisper.
Yesterday I posed a technical question that I thought was pretty profound.
Yes.
Pretty deep. Do you remember what it was?
I have no idea.
I said to you, Julie, what will happen when the cloud gets full?
Yes, that's
and
right.
And you just slapped me in the face. You said, it ain't even 5% full, Mom.
I don't think it's even.
And then Dad got on my side and he said, but, Julie, someday it will be full.
And then you said it'll be in the universe. It won't be the clouds anymore.
It'll be the stratosphere.
I'm thinking and I'm hoping that eventually we just start purging some stuff, repetitive stuff. I mean, how much cat stuff do we need to have in the
cloud?
And wasn't it this week because Amazon's cloud had a little glitch in it?
Yeah.
That all websites were going crazy.
Midwest, I know. We were trying to get to someplace and it was taking us someplace we didn't want to go.
Exactly. It was crazy.
And we were like,
it was totally crazy.
Yeah.
All right, girlfriend, you ready for a little pillar talk?
Already? Mm-hmm. Pillar talk?
That's it. Pillow talk. Pillow talk. So here we are at Pillar Talk, and we don't have much time. We only have about 10 minutes.
Jeez. And this is where we get profound.
Yes. And this is why you say never tell people we're going to go profound, because we've got 45-50 minutes of us not being profound and then us being profound, and it just doesn't fit sometimes. But we want you to hang on to get the more direct knowledge, the direct teachable, coachable moments.
Empiricism.
Yes, exactly.
Julie's studying different types of knowledge this week because she's getting her master's degree.
So exciting. But anyway,
educate us.
Okay. Well, the one thing I want to talk about today, and we talked about this earlier, not on the show, just earlier in general, because I see you so much that I end up talking to you quite a bit. But I want to talk about change, and I want to talk about the reasons why change is so difficult, and not to beat yourself up over the fact that change is difficult. It really is part of the human condition. And when in research, we talk about action research, and we talk about, actually putting in some kind of action that you want change to happen. You see a problem. I want to change this problem. I want to put some kind of action in there to hopefully guarantee or have an effect on this situation to have a good outcome. And what happens is that typically when you do that, you're met with this big force. And either the theory of information, they're called a force field. And why change is so hard is because we are, you know, your change is met from forces all over the place. You know, you have your environment. It likes to stay status quo. Your family that you live with,
they want to stay status quo. And if you're changing upsets their apple cart,
oh, yeah,
that ain't fun. No. And they'd rather you stay status quo. And there's nothing worse than someone trying to make a change for the better that makes you have to look at yourself.
Right.
You know, that's like...
So that's a bunch of force fields.
You know, and in education, you have the school setting, you have the different teachers, you have the parents who are like, what are you doing? You know, the kids are like... And it was kind of cute. I was talking about this to Hillary last night, which is Doug's daughter, and she works for Kreider, which is like this place for development delayed adults. And there are deaf adults and just a wide variety of adults, but they're all development delayed, and some live there and some just work there and so forth. And her uncle is
developmentally delayed.
Yeah, and works there. And it was so funny.
Wait, he works there too? Oh, that's right, he does.
He had a job there. But it was so funny because she's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and she wants to save the world and all this stuff. And so she's shaking things up a little bit. And she has more classes and all this stuff. And her uncle came to her and going, I don't like this. I don't like this change.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't like this change. And so here she is really putting in programs that are going to get growth and, new ideas and development. And it's supposed to benefit the clients.
Right.
And yet the clients are resistant to change.
Sure.
Like, wait a minute here. This is not what I want. You know, and it was so, and so you go, yes, here's your force field. You've got even the people who are going to benefit from this change the most.
Right.
They're resistant to the change.
Right.
And so how does change ever get done?
Right.
And sometimes change only gets done when it's in that critical phase, when you really have hit, quote unquote, some people might call it rock bottom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when, hey guys, the status quo ain't going to fly no more. It has to change right now.
Right.
And those are good parts when people come to us as a coach, because when they're at that, they're at the end of the rope, they're at the bottom of the barrel, the force field has diminished. You know,
yes.
There are cracks and you can get through.
Yes, yes.
And you can make change because you are at that spot of just completely willing to do anything.
Absolutely.
And then there's another way of looking at change, what I kind of like. It's called the change theory. It's like think of this thing that you want changed. It can be your body as just an example. And you have to unfreeze yourself. And then you're unfrozen and then you're still here. But then you refreeze as something totally different. And if you think of it as water, as the ice cube starts to melt, the way it looks changes. And as it refreezes,
mm-hmm.
it looks completely different.
Yeah, you're right.
And so in that process, and what's the first part of that process so hard? Unfreezing yourself is the hardest part of that process.
Melting.
Because it doesn't want to melt. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just like, mm-hmm. there's that last chunk of you still sitting in that water. Yes. It's like, I am going to stay frozen until hell freezes over. And so forth. And so you realize that, okay, cut myself some slack, mm-hmm. but how can I make this my, you know, I know this changes for the benefit. I am at the bottom of my rope, mm-hmm. on the bottom of the barrel, end of the rope, whatever saying you need to say, or I can't take one more day of this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to change,
mm-hmm.
and go, great, because that's when the resistance is low.
Yes.
Now, we talk about how to help yourself get release of this resistance. It's your saboteur. It's a lot of things. It can be like the environment around you, the people around you. There's just a situation.
Mm-hmm.
And we know, like, through hypnosis, visualizations, meditations, those are great ways to break holes in those force fields.
Right.
To strengthen your will, to become one. And it's all about alignment. When you're in alignment with what you want, change is easier. Alignment is when your thoughts, your words, your actions are all agreeing upon one thing.
Nice, nice, nice.
It works to your advantage.
Right. It's like a finely tuned motor.
Yes, exactly. And when you're not there, that's when change is really hard. And having a coach helps you, because what your coach can say is like, why are you giving that thought any real attention?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a thought. You have 51,000 thoughts a day.
Right.
Not all of them you have control over. Actually, most of them you don't.
David Ross says that, actually. He goes, It's just a thought.
It's just a thought.
Don't give it any more credence than, hey, you know, the sky is blue. It's just, yeah. it's just a thought.
It's just a thought.
Let it just pass you by. Pass yes. over your head.
Yes,
don't
exactly.
Let it land.
I know we want to talk about today, too, which we're not going to have any time to talk about.
What?
We heard a great TED Talk, or you heard a great TED Talk about knowledge and learning.
Yeah.
And so forth. And but we'll talk about that later at a different day.
Yeah, okay. I can't remember. Was it just it was about asking questions, I think.
It was about asking questions. But it's about asking, I'll just throw this out here because that was pretty interesting about Einstein.
Oh,
knowledge
yeah, right.
is really connected to the past.
Right.
It's rooted in the
past. That's right.
But, however, you've got imagination
yes.
is
connected to the
future.
Right.
And we know Einstein says imagination is a preview of coming attractions.
That's our favorite quote that we have in our living room is that imagination is the life preview, the preview
yes.
of your life's coming attractions.
Yeah. Now, what we do know, and I want to say this, is that when you have an moment, aha, wow, or eureka, or whatever, amazing, it really is about having zero assumptions of what could possibly happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Totally out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
Think about 200 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They could not imagine the life we live now.
Right.
I'll tell you what, when I think of the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
Early 1980s, I was doing my papers, you know, on word processors,
mm-hmm.
or people were doing things on word processors mm-hmm. or something like that. You know,
mm-hmm.
now I have
and they
a
were
phone,
huge.
And they were huge, and they weren't very pretty, and they didn't have great pictures.
Mm-hmm.
I do everything from my phone.
Right.
From my phone. You know, I mean, people couldn't imagine what happened in the last 20 years. I mean, now, what's going to happen in 20 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
We have no idea, no possible idea what could possibly happen.
That's right.
But it's exciting times.
It is exciting. And that's what that TED Talk was about.
Yeah. And I heard the other day, too, which I'm going to throw out there real quick. It's this idea that really our judgment towards other people or situations is really limited to our imagination.
Right.
Because if we can open up our imagination
right.
about a situation, then there are so many possibilities of why somebody is responding to you in a certain
mm-hmm.
way
mm-hmm.
or they're behaving in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And the chances are none of it's about you.
The quote was something like, if you're judging something, it means that your imagination's not big enough.
Right.
If you're
right.
coming down hard on something, your imagination has not been
big enough,
challenged enough.
And so this week, let's challenge our imagination.
Yeah.
And let's think of, and let's say if there's a change that you've been wanting to make, but you still have those force fields up, or you're still frozen as an ice cube.
Melting.
I want you to write down some of the big whys.
Yeah.
You know, or think of yourself in the future of not having this change. What will your life look like?
Mm-hmm.
Things don't stay status quo typically. Things typically get worse, you know.
Well, my point that I always make is that we start especially in the early times of a change, we start thinking about what we're giving up.
Yes.
And because we can't imagine what we're going to gain
right.
at that moment in time, it just feels kind of like a fantasy.
Yes.
It feels like, oh, gee, another thing I'm holding up that I won't.
Yeah.
You know. But if we can really anchor what the true, you know, what we are really gaining, that could be very promising.
And I think it shall. And so did this week as well. Something that you're going to be giving up, don't focus on what you're giving up. Focus on what you're gaining. Write them down so you know and look at them. What are you going to be gaining from this? And know it does take time. Buffer time is that painful time from the time you did the action, you believe it was going to come, until you really see the physical results. And if time is an illusion, which it could possibly be, in my imagination, then it's all happening right now anyway.
That's right.
So it doesn't matter. And how did the show today, girlfriend?
It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great.